Question number 16, what was the 15th Amendment? The 15th Amendment gave black men the right to vote. It became part of the Constitution in 1870. Scalawags were 17. Question number 17, scalawags were Southerners who sided with the Northerners, who sided with the Radical Republicans, who were supportive of the advancement of rights for black Americans in the South. Carpetbaggers, again, were Northerners who came to the South and viewed by Southerners with tremendous scorn, who viewed them as simply as either politically or economically advantageous, taking advantage of the situation, maybe not even really believing all that much in the advancement of the cause of blacks, but came down to the South and got themselves elected to political office or had some means by which to get a contract through the government where they could benefit and invest and make money off of the South, and they were not very well received by Southerners. They were viewed, again, simply as taking advantage of the situation. 19 can be a long answer, but it should be pretty simple. Besides freedom, which should be pretty obvious to you, there were tremendous gains in the early days of Reconstruction. A good many political office holders, obviously, blacks very active in political life at that particular time with the right to vote. There were some economic gains by some, although too many did not see much in the way of economic improvement. The schools and the churches, the sense of the community that developed in the black community were very powerful and continued to be powerful even once the days of Jim Crow and segregation were cast down upon black Americans in the South. Freedmen's Bureau, number 20, the primary objective was to aid freed blacks in the transition to freedom. Specifically, they did things like operate schools, run hospitals, would aid blacks in the signing of labor contracts, since so few blacks could read, especially in the initial days of Reconstruction. Immediately after the Civil War, these Freedmen's Bureau agents would sit in on the contract negotiations and try as best they could to keep freed black men and women from getting the short end of the stick too severely. So a lot of things the Freedmen's Bureau agents did, and again, they were not very well received by Southerners for a lot of reasons. 21, some former slaves went to the North for opportunities. Some came out here to Kansas and Nebraska, to the prairie, maybe the Homestead Act, or if they had means to go somewhere and take advantage of the freedom to move, they could do so. But kind of in contrast, in question number 19, one of the sadder tales of the Reconstruction era, and a long time beyond the Reconstruction era, is that many freed slaves didn't have any means by which to go anywhere. And their options in many cases were quite limited, and many of them ended up working frequently for the same person who had been their owner during the slavery days. They ended up working on the same land, frequently living in the same hut they had lived in when they were slaves, and becoming sharecroppers, which we'll talk about in the next question. But sharecropping didn't work out very well for the vast majority of freed blacks. So while there were a lot of positive things going on, obviously, and freedom being of greatest import, from a material perspective, and Reconstruction for many freed slaves did not bring much advancement. Question number 22, sharecropping, quickly. The South was cash poor. There wasn't a lot of hard currency by which to pay wages. Slaves did not want to work for low wages. The slaves did not want to work in a situation where they felt like they were being watched all the time, like they had been when they were slaves. So sharecropping initially seemed like a reasonably good solution, compromise. The worker would be given tools and seed and things like that to put the crop in the ground, would have the opportunity to farm it, work as hard as he or she wanted to do. And then when it was time to harvest, most arrangements called for a 50-50 split. The landowner would get 50% of the crop, and the freed black worker would get 50% of the crop. It didn't work out very well for many of the former slaves, and I'll explain that on some other podcasts. But that was the basic reality. The basic reality of sharecropping was a 50-50 split of crop planted by former slaves, generally on the same land they had toiled on while they were slaves. There were 23 targets of the KKK, and why? Well, it's not simply black people. Many white people were targeted by the Klan, the Freedmen's Bureau agents, the teachers in the schools, the scalawags and the carpetbaggers, anyone who was thought to be in the South who was doing something to upset the kind of natural order of things and aid freed blacks in their process of gaining additional freedoms and political rights and all of those things. Those people were also targeted by the Klan. Maybe not as viciously or in the same kind of numbers, obviously, as the black citizens of the South were, but there were many, many targets of the Ku Klux Klan and other terrorist organizations of the kind in the South during Reconstruction.